Nay. Seconded by Ms. Montes, which page is it? Page 433. Okay, so let's continue where we left off. Let's run through the Mizmar with the Mitzudos, and then we'll come back to the Rashis and some selected Mefarshim. Okay, so wrapped over here, yes, as a brief overview, yesterday we spent a lot of time describing who wrote this Mizmar. And this Mizmar, again, is part of the series of Sefer Sheni of B'nai Korach. And the thrust of this Mizmar is the futility in pursuing money, gashmius. As it says over here, we learned yesterday that the last part was like Zayin, Haboitchim al Chelam uveroiv Ashram Yisalalu, describing the futility of those people who have faith in their money and in the abundance of their wealth, in their wealth, they praise themselves in the confidence and the security that comes with wealth. And we mentioned the reason why this is very apropos for B'nai Korach, obviously, is because of the famous Medrash, that B'nai Korach, he found one-third of the wealth of the world. As we mentioned yesterday, Yosef collected all the money of the world. This week's parasha, the Mamash, this week's parasha, and the young Yosef, they came to Mishram to buy, and during the 7 years of famine, especially the last five, he accumulated the wealth of the entire world. He divided it into three parts. One third was put away for Geniza, for the Tzadikim Lias Lovo. One third, Mechol, clarified, was discovered by Rome. Antoninus had access to one third, which basically is the one-third of the wealth of the world is living on today, is from that time. And one-third was found by Korach. Somehow Korach had access to this, and Korach accumulated, was in possession of one-third of the wealth of the entire world. And look where it led him. Look what it became of him. Korach was swallowed up in the ground because the money got to him. Once a person has money, the next thing in line is covered. Kol ha'am kulam kidoishim v'seichem Hashem u'madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Korach said, once he had all the money in the world, after a person has money, he has too much time on his hands, and he starts imagining how he can acquire fame, become a god in this world through his enormous wealth. And this mizma was said by the B'nai Korach, recognizing that with this type of attitude, the dangers that come along with extreme wealth, and where it led them, this was very, very, very apropos, very much appropriate that they should be the ones that should say this mizmar. And then we mentioned that this mizmar is said in a Beis Avel. This is the mizmar that is said in the Beis Avel. As a reminder, when a person leaves this world, he takes nothing with him. And every time we go to a Beis Avel, it's a musr. It's very good to daven in a Beis Avel. When you daven in a Beis Avel, you walk out of the Beis Avel with a little humility. And chizes soif kol adam. Now you go to a funeral. A funeral is a humbling experience, but I think even more than going to a funeral is going to daven in a Beis Avel. Every so often, you're asked to come to Beis Avel, or you don't have a choice. Someone, neighbor, or someone needs help, and you doubt a Beis Avel, and you have to reflect. You know, it shakes you up. You can't go through your regular routine of going to your regular shul where you're a big shot and everyone has respect for you.
I'm afraid, Rabbi Levine, that's changing. Really.
What?
I think this is changing.
What do you mean changing?
I don't think you get the same feeling in a Beis Avel anymore.
I think it probably changes.
I don't know. It depends. Like, everything depends. What, and today's different? Why is it? What do you mean by being today being different?
I think that unfortunately there's a little bit more joviality.
I don't know. It depends. It depends. It depends on the situation. It's a humbling.
Was more like you're expressing.
Mourning today.
40 years ago, that, you know,
Look, funerals today turned into jokes, turned into entertainment, entertainment sometimes. Sometimes you go to a funeral and the hespedim are the hespedim are.
Sure, by me they. Walking his dog every morning and passing by my house and waving hello.
All right, so.
What would you rather have? Someone go away depressed from you?
Not depressed. Not depression. Not depression. It's a certain attitude.
Exactly.
It's a certain an attitude of. At the end of the day, what is it all about? You know, what is it? What is it all about? At the end of the day, what do you take with you? What do you take with you? People, I mean, what's the, like you know the joke? I mean, I remember Rabbi.
In Eretz Yisrael, I would say it's still
there's
solemn.
All right, but it's sad. It's sad. Okay. So this is the major theme of this mizmor. We have the podlas start with pas. Let's start over here with pasuk ches. Och, I'm going to just run through the psukim very simply, just to get a basic flavor of what's going on, and then we'll come back and do the Rashi's. Och loy fadoy yifter ish loyite nelukim chafroy. Okay, let's do one pasuk at a time. Let's try to go quickly. See how quickly we can go through the mizmor. Pasuk ches on page 434. Pasuk ches. Och loy. Och loy fado yifteh ish pasik on the mitzudas David is on page 434. Och loy, merit the second to last line in the mitzudas David page 434. Och koimer, this means to say hinei beemes sichlus gadol hu levtoach ba'yisher. It's a foolish thing to have confidence in wealth, and he's giving a mishalim. We learned this yesterday. He's giving over here many different examples, many riddles almost. Ki haloi ein ish yuchal liftois b'mamon es achiv min hamisa. V'af koifer nefesh atzmoi lo yuchal litein. A person, if he has a brother who he loves very much and he's very close with, and this brother, for whatever the reason, is on death row, there is nothing his brother can do to save him. The brother who wants to save him can present all of his money to the government. To the government, I'll pay you to save him. It's not going to help. It's not, now in America probably would. In America, there's so much corruption, maybe it would help. But but the way it normally was, is it's not going to make a difference. So therefore, a person, this is a mashal. If a person cannot buy life, so certainly a person should realize that his money is not going to save his neshama. It's a very simple but a very profound mashal. We all know that to be true. You cannot buy in this world with money certain things. You cannot buy health. What? Happiness. You cannot buy happiness. Some people say that's not true. I think many people will say that you can buy happiness with money. They will say, try it on me. I'll be very happy if I have money. Okay, it can't hurt. So let's not even go down there with happiness. Because I think many people will be very, very happy with money, but so that's a really hard thing to talk about. But talk what you consider to be what happiness. But certainly you cannot buy life. Person Rachmanu Litzlan is not well. Person is sick. You know, my parents were in the hospital. They spent a lot of time in the hospital, and you saw a lot of people. They come into some very big famous celebrities, all different types of people. And they're treated the same way. Everyone in the hospital is treated the same, pretty much. Okay, if you get a private room, big deal. You get a private room.
No, big deal.
What? To get a private room? Okay, so fine. You get a private room. But at the end of the day, they're sick people, and they're suffering, and they're totally, you know, it's a horrible, horrible experience. And oh, I'm rich. I have millions and millions. And these people are phenomenally wealthy. Doesn't make a difference. This is someone lying next. I remember in the hospital, there was someone there. Literally, he came from another country, probably trying to take advantage of the situation. He came from another country. You can see he didn't have a penny to his name. He was destitute, mamish destitute. He had no family came to visit him. And like, I started to talk to him. He started telling me certain things. Nothing of a nothing. And he was getting the same treatment like the guy down the hall who was in this private room, and like someone said to me, you know who that guy is? You know who he is? Oh, this guy. Same thing. All the money in the world, all the money in the world is not going to make a difference. So if we know that, and over here David is saying, or the Bnei Karach is saying, the same way we know that to be true, the same thing when it comes to the neshama. When the neshama has a defect, if the neshama has done an avera, a person has not worked on his midos, has not done teshuva for averos, the ruchni, all the money in the world is not going to be able to save him from what is coming to his neshama in punishment or in the tikkun, the painful tikkun that the neshama needs. Well, yes and no. I mean, it's just so easy to give tzedakah, and to a degree, yes. But obviously, there's more than just giving tzedakah. There's a certain avoida of part of the process, of course, giving tzedakah. But tzedakah is obviously not everything. Mussar. Look, we today were so far removed from this concept of improving our midos and learning mussar and dealing with people. I mean, it's just amazing things that you see that go on. I saw something recently. I don't want to tell you what I saw, but I don't want to tease you. I couldn't believe what I saw. I just could not believe a person who considers himself to be a dignified person, a real macher, and the way he behaved. It's just mind-boggling. And like, I know someone even in another source, someone on Shabbos, he told me that he went to an event. I don't know how he got there to this event where there were multi-millionaires at this event. I mean, the biggest of the big cats. Somehow he was there. He was working there, and he said they had a barbecue, and a person comes over to where they're preparing the steaks. A very famous person, and he comes there, and he puts his fork, he stabs his fork into a steak on the grill. And he says, "This is mine. This is mine." Like a ma. And he said to me, "This guy said I couldn't believe it. You have enough money. You can have mesharsim the whole day come and serve you. It's so grub, so coarse. This is mine. This is mine." Okay, we're so far moved. Rav Yisrael Salanter, he wanted very much to have. He didn't succeed in this to have. Of course, called Musar Shtibluch. He wanted to build a network. There's a base medrash. We have a base medrash. And you have a base hakneses. And you have a community center. He desperately wanted to be built to have special rooms, public places, that the only thing you do in these places is learn Musar. No davening, no learning. You don't dare learn a Daf Gemara in these public places. You leave your house. You go to a room, miyuchud, and in the room only Musar Svarim, and people sit there. They just think, or they learn Musar and they repeat. They repeat Nachamol. They repeat certain lines. Ich bin garnished. And you meditate. You meditate. And don't distract. Don't these locations should not be distracted with davening, with learning. No Daf Gemara. Don't have intellectual study and have a chavrus and learn. No. These mekoyma should be nothing other than places to study Musa.
Meditation.
To learn. Yeah, fine. But only Musa. Not anything else will be a distraction. And it will call a Musar Shtibel. And he made a few of them. You know how to raise. You have to raise money and go and build and fund them. And he wanted to make all over the Klal Yisrael. It should be in every single kehila, mekaymos of a Musar Shtibel. No, I don't know if it was Navaritic. This is general. This is the Navaritic. Even Slobodko is also a Musar yeshiva, just a different approach, to Musar. But this did not. Of course, it did not take up. We have enough hard enough time funding just a base Knesset, a base Medrash. But there is something to the concept of working on your midos, working on yourself. Just try to listen to someone. Someone speaks to you, I mean, how often, how many people today know how to listen? Listen is an art. Someone has something to say, just calm down, listen. Don't look at your smartphone. You know, I know when I go home, I'm someone that I know, every time I talk to them, they always say, when I'm talking to you, don't look at your phone. Don't look at your phone. Listen. Okay, I can't do it. I can't.
You have to.
It's okay. You have to learn how to control yourself, how to give another person attention, focus, to be a listener. This is a very big avodah, and this avodah very much it perfects your neshama. And when you master one midah, it comes out in many other midahs. And oh, but I have a lot of money. I'm on my phone now, and I'm making money. So I'll go and I'll pay money. Guess what? All the money you're going to be making on your phone, anyway, not going to make any money, but all the money you think you're going to make is not going to serve as a ransom for the defect in your neshama. And this is something that you don't have to have emunah. It's a kal v'chomer. It's just logical. Just like we know that in this world, money cannot buy everything. Money cannot buy health. Money cannot buy time. Money cannot buy children. It cannot buy certain things. You can have all the money you want. The person has certain problems. There's nothing you can do about it. So kol shekein al achas kam v'kama, a person's neshama has defects, and the neshama needs to be tikkun. It needs to be, you know, perfected, and the person has to work on themselves. And all the money you have is not going to be able to solve that problem. That's all it says in this pasuk. If och lo fado yifta ish, if what? A brother, because that's the closest, that's like a symbol, a metaphor of the closest relationship you can have with another human being in this world. That's how it's supposed to be. I know you'll tell me Yosef and his brothers didn't work like that, but generally an och, the closest relationship one person can have with another person is a brother. A brother is a generic term which means you have a person that you love, you care about.
Brotherly love.
This. And yet, there's nothing you can do for that person with your money. A person is sick, and you want him to live, you can give all the money you have. It's not going to make a difference. A person is in trouble with the law, you can give all of your money. It's not going to make a difference. If that is true in Gashmias, al achas kama v'kama in Ruchnias, all of the money that you have is not going to be able to remove and to clean a defect in your neshama. That's all it says here. Och loy fado yifta ish, a brother that you love who is in trouble, there's nothing you can do. Or no, I'm sorry. Ish is the person who is in trouble. Ish is a person who is in trouble, and the brother wants to help him. There's nothing you can do with your money if you can't use your money to save a person from the law. So certainly lo yitain lelokim chofro, your money is not going to bring for your neshama atonement. The next pasuk. Yeah.
What do you mean? He's asking him,
do
you have an
ach? Yeah.
He knew his father's alive. Okay. He's asking, you have a soul from your father. Okay. Someone you can share with, someone you can talk. And the ach is the present. No, it really represents the future. Who do you have to give over to?
So the child, normally the child will be the one you give over to. The ben. Okay, so you say, okay, all right.
So over here where it says ach lo fado yifta, it's also
Who you give over to. All right, okay, you have to analyze that in that context.
And it says ish, you know, adam. Ish is even an important
person. Even so, very chashuv. There's nothing you can do, right? There's nothing. Money does have its limitations. It's hard to believe. we think not. Myself included, right? If only we had money, we can go conquer the world. People who have a lot of money, they find themselves, you see, they're not, they're miserable people, they're they could do a lot of damage with money. Money also is a very...
You can do a lot of good stuff with money, too.
You can throw... Who was this person who passed away in Chicago? He was a philanthropist. There's a person in Chicago, they're all writing about it. He passed away. Who was the big philanthropist?
Yeah. Who is this?
Who is? I don't know. I never heard of him. I know who he is.
Aeschylus.
Don't worry, they'll write a book soon. It'll be in all the magazines. You'll read in all the magazines. All right, there are a lot of very good people. There are a lot of very good people. You 100% that use money in the Hatznei Leches, who give tzedakah, you'll never know about. Hatznei Leches, Emelokecha. And then there are people who give them publicly, and they do. They should, because that way they inspire other people to give. It's a beautiful thing. All right, let's go further. Let's go to the next pasuk test.
Page
436. 436. We're going to run through the entire mizmor and the mitzvah of it. The yekar pidyon nafsham v'chadal li'olam. What does it mean? The yekar. Let's go look at the mitzvah sion first. Yekar dover asher tiksha mitzius kari yokar. The word yokar means something precious. Let's just go through the words first. Like tefillin. It's interesting. Tefillin is called la'yehudim ha'sa'or simach v'sasam v'kar. V'kar. Elu hatefillin. The most precious item. There's only one mitzvah object in all of the Torah that's called yokar, and that is tefillin. Tefillin is yokar. Represents our connection. We connect ourselves to Hashem. Yokar is stuff that is precious. Look at the mitzvahs David pasuk test lehafdois es hanefesh udavar yokar. To redeem a neshama is a very precious activity. It not only is it precious, even he's saying it's impossible. It's a very difficult pasuk. The Pshut Shel Mikra is very hard to understand.
Yokar also has the meaning of very heavy.
Heavy. Okay, yokar. That's okay. 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 It means heavy. Yokar is.
Yokar b'nei Hashem hamov.
Hamov zalach hasidav. So what does that pasuk mean? It's also subject to a lot of interpretation. It's painful. Yokar b'nei Hashem hamov zalach hasidav. It's something that's hard for Hashem to do. It is heavy. It weighs down on Hashem heavily to bring about the death of a tzaddik. Here in this pasuk, it means the yekar pidyon nafsham. It's a very difficult activity for a person to redeem his neshama. V'chodal le'olam, it just about doesn't exist. That's what the Mitzvah David says. The ability for a person to do something in exchange for his life, to person Rachman l'son is or there is a life that is in the process of leaving. And someone or a group wants to redeem that neshama, that it should not be taken away. It's almost impossible. It's yokar. It's an extremely difficult, rare activity. The yekar pidyon nafsham, the redemption of their neshama, which neshama? A neshama that is stained with chait, is something that is an extremely difficult process. V'chodal le'olam, it just, and this is an expression, it almost does not exist in this world forever. One more time, the words of the Mitzudois David, the Yegar, lahaftois es hanefesh, hu dovar yokor. To redeem a neshama is very difficult. V'loi soif dovar sheyokor hu. Not only is it difficult, because if you say the word difficult, difficult means, okay, it's difficult, but it can be done. You have someone who has skill, someone who has the know-how, has the inside track, he will do it. No. El afilu shechodal hu le'olam. Chodal means it ceases to exist, this art of being successful in redemption. It is just about non-existent. The einoi nimso klo. Next pasuk yud. Vichi oid lo netzach lo yireh hashochas. What does that mean? Pasuk Yud in the Mitzvah David. V'af im harbe yichye. Even if a person will succeed, the rare instances, one in a million, person wins the mega millions or the Powerball, even if you get luck and you're able to succeed in redeeming the neshama, how long will it last for? How long? Person goes through this, you hear these stories about people having surgery, right? These extremely rare surgeries, and you hear a miracle, the doctors, they had a marathon, a surgery for 3 days. I don't know how one could survive that. And then the person survived. And they interview him, look, he survived. And then what happens? You hear a year later, or a few months later, dead. He dies. He is dead. So, very good. He lived a little bit long. But how much time are you going to buy? Even if you do succeed, this is really scary stuff. Vichy, it's very appropriate for a Beis Avel. Okay, for Beis Avel, saying all these frightening things. Vichy, he learns that Vichy is a standalone word. Vichy, one more time, the stuff. Vichy, v'af im harbe yichya. Even if a person, even if he lives for a long time. Vichy yichya oy lo netzach. Will a year a cloud as hashochas? Will he live forever and not see the grave? Umavim can be bitchoina oisher. He's going back over here even to the money. Even if you're going to give some money and you're going to use your money to buy some time, how much time can you buy with money? It's not going to last forever. Even vichi oidlo netzach. Will a year a hashochas? He's really eating words into the pasuk. Even if you're going to find a situation where a person is able to use his money to buy some time, how much time already can you buy? Will he live forever and will never see the grave? Pasuk Yud Aleph, the grave. Yeah, the Malacham Avos. The Shachas, the grave. Shachas, look at the Mitzudas, look at the Boya Kever, look at the Mitzudas Sion, the Boya Kever. There are many interpretations. One of the most interesting interpretations we're going to go through is the Targum. The Targum is unbelievable. Okay, Mir Hashem, we'll go to the Targum a little bit later on this Mizmah. He adds a lot of words. I discovered online a very good translation of the Targum. And what it basically does, like we do, like Safari, what we do in the afternoon, Chumash, it does the same thing over here for the Targum here, where it highlights all of the extra words that the Targum is injecting into the Pasuk. See, there are two different things in Targum. This is very important, you say it in Targum. And that is sometimes the Targum, he the way he translates a word, that itself is very fascinating, how he chooses to translate a word. And the second thing about the Targum is when he adds words that it does not say in the Pasuk. He embellishes the translation by adding words that do not appear. And the words that the Targum adds is a very, very fascinating commentary on how he wants to learn Shad the Pasek. Okay, the problem with the Targum over here on Tillim is the Targum and the Tillim, it's not really known, it's not really clear who wrote the Targum and Tillim. It does not carry the same weight, the Targum that we have in front of us, like Unkelis and Yonatan ben Uziel. Who wrote this Targum? Who is the author? It's not clear who wrote this Targum, and how serious do we take the Targum? Rashi, we know who Rashi is. Okay, we know who the Rishonim are. Rashi is presenting us the Messiah. Targum, obviously, it's on the page. This is a sacred Targum, but it's certainly not the Targum anything near the weight of Unkelis and Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. There is no Targum on Kesuvim. It's a Beferish Gemara. The Gemara says there should not be any Targum on Kesuvim, because as we discussed many times, the entire Kesuvim is one process of revealing the Geula. And if you're going to start translating sections of the Targum on Ksuvim, you're going to reveal the Geula, which Hashem, for his reasons, does not want us to know. And when the Gemara talks about Sefer Daniel, that's just one example. But the entire work of Ksuvim is the Mos HaMashiach. Let's go further. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki yire chachamim yomusu yachad ksil vovar yevedu v'ozvu lacherim chelam. Let's go slow. Look at the mitzudos siyim. Vovar, let's do the words. The word vovar means a shoite, and chelam is their wealth. The mitzudos David, ki yire, im ki yire shekol b'nei ha'olam omdim l'misa, hechacham yehiyeh oisachol, uv'moisim yazu oisham l'achedim asher loy omloy boy. Death is the great equalizer. Okay, we have to really read the next pasuk together. We can't read this one pasuk alone. The pasuk is based kirbam, batemoy la'olam, Mishkinoisam Lidor Vadar Karu Vishmoisam Ale Adamais Mitsugas David Pasuk Beis Kirbam Im Kol Zeh Yachshu Bekerv Libam Asher Boteim Tiskayim Liolam. People make a foolish mistake. People, they see people dying all the time, and they say to themselves, not me. This, it's not going to happen to me. My bias, they think inside their hearts that their homes will be Tiskayim Le'olam. Next page, Karu, page 438, Mitzudas David, middle of the page, Karu, Karim Shemam, Shemam Al Admasam, Loimar, Shehi Admas Ploini. They name streets after themselves. They put their name on everything. Ki'ilu yichyu lonetzach v'siya biyadam. They take possession of assets with an attitude, I'm going to be here forever. What happened to these people? They died. Too bad for them. It's not going to happen to me. What are you talking about? Look around. If they died, why do you think you're going to live forever? This is the foolishness of man. Now let's read the psukim again one more time together. Pasuk Yalaf Yud Beis Ki Yira. Even though, you have to read these two psukim together. Ki Yira. Even though a person, he looks around and he sees Chachomim Yamusu, the wisest people also die. These are wise people. Don't you think they can figure out how to live forever? Don't you think they know the way to live forever? They're such smart people. They have all the right doctors. They have all the longevity center. You ever listen to the radio? I don't listen to the radio anymore. You used to listen to the radio, you listen to the advertisements. I actually know someone who goes there. He's Tucker, he's still alive. I haven't seen him. I haven't heard about him in a long time. He told my father, he goes every 3 months to the longevity center, they do a full workup on him, every 3 months, and anything that they detect may one day lead to him getting sick, they right away, they nip it in the bud. Yeah, they advertise. They used to advertise this on the radio. Come to the longevity center.
They still do it all day.
They make a lot of money. People really think they're going to live forever. They think they're going to live forever. They're going to outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they go and they do a full workup. And any little thing that they suspect can lead to something, they have the expertise in how to deal with it in order that you should live forever. All right.
You won't live forever, but it definitely will extend your life if you catch things in the bud.
I wonder if they'll do statistics on these people, how many of these people actually lived a day longer than the average. It's impossible to know. Maybe you're right. Maybe right. But you know, who knows? You hear all these different. But it's a certain attitude in life. Obviously, you have to take care of your health. No one's telling you to be a fool, to not take care of yourself. And you know, do everything you're supposed to do, but there are certain extremes, and you think you're gonna outsmart Hashem. So there are chachamim, and guess what? Even the chachamim, they die. Yachad with the ksil vovar, the foolish people and the shaitan, two different words which mean the same thing. Yovedu, they're all the yovedu, they're gone. They're just the chachamim are gone. You ever go to a cemetery? So many dead people. It's just mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling. The graves go on and on and on and on. And every single person has a story to tell you. Had a life. I'm sure there's... It's amazing. You go to the mayor takes me to cemeteries. It's amazing when you see these cemeteries. Look at the matzeves. Someone wrote those matzeves. Everyone matzeves. Someone sat down and wrote a matzeva for this person, which means there was a rich life. A life of activity.
The Yid has a weekly article called Matseva is Medabra.
Matseva is what?
Medabra,
what's that?
Matseva, they tell you the story behind
it. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Okay, everyone.
I only want to know one Matseva. My favorite Matseva in Union Field, it only said in script one line on a brown Matseva, while alive, he lived.
That's nice.
That's all it said about
that's nice.
It must have been a real cut-up. I don't know.
That's nice. I always joke about a matzeva.
That's all it said.
One word. I always tell people, my matzeva, one word. Offline.
So, WC Fields always say, you know, while on the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
Over here is Mordechai Musa. Ki yire chachamim yamusu yachar ksil vavar yoyvedu. The Ozvan, what happened to all these people? all of their wealth, it just, the government took it. A state tax. The Ozlu La'achedin Chelam, their wealth went to someone else. And yet, here's how to read the Mizmah. Yet, what do we say about ourselves? It's not going to happen to us. Kirbam. Inside of our minds, Kirbam here means, Kirbam here means inside of our minds. We say to ourselves, let's go back to Imkolza Yashu Bikerev Libam. Kirba means inside of our hearts and minds, we say to ourselves, it's not gonna happen to us. Only them, those poor fellows, knew, but we're different. Kirbam, inside of their minds, they say to themselves, but hey, my home, my family, my legacy, le'olam, I'm going to be around forever. Mishkinoisam, their dwelling places, le'dor vadar, karu, and the proof is, look how they behave. Look how they go about living their lives. They purchase things with an attitude, I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to be around forever. Karu v'shmoisam alei adamos.
Cousin of ours, a woman, and first wife, and she decided to make a new kitchen in Doha, a new, very large kitchen. So they destroyed most of the new kitchen, of the old kitchen, and they was already ready to build now the new kitchen.
Okay.
She came, she went into a coma. And she was there 2 months, 3 months in the hospital, and then she died. And we came to the house to Yeshiva called Nachem Nifum Avinim. So everybody had a tour on the kitchen to see a destroyed kitchen that she had a dream to have, whatever the kitchen, and here it's gone. No kitchen and no person.
It's very sad. This is really scary stuff, what it says over here. On the other hand, you know, you have to live also. Right. It's a matter of attitude. You have to also, you're here, you have to enjoy. If Hashem gave you a bracha, obviously you should enjoy. You should enjoy the bracha, but it's all a matter of attitude. That's really all it comes down to.
By the way, there's a site, Unclaimed Funds. They say there's billions of dollars.
Billions?
Hundreds of millions.
$42 billion in
your state. Unclaimed funds.
Yeah. I get letters also. So I got a letter that there's unclaimed funds. So I checked into it. You know how much money that I was unclaimed that belonged to me?
$28.
7 cents. The postage for them to send me the notice that there's unclaimed funds that belong to me costs more than the stamp. They have unclaimed 7 cents. Somewhere there's 7 cents that belongs to me that I have unclaimed it.
The attitude is very important. A rich person thinks he can do anything.
Right.
And he...
Attitude.
Right. And he's prepared to do anything. And this is like in the army. Young soldiers, they prepare him. They say, they train him. They have an attitude, they can do anything. They will jump in the fire.
Suicide.
And they believe they will survive because they're prepared.
They believe they're going to survive, mamish, or that's part of you have to give up your life for the cause.
Yes, but this is.
He's saying something very important.
In this life, it's important to have an attitude.
Attitude. That's the main thing.
Rich man thinks he can do anything, can buy off everything.
Right. No, it's just a delicate nuance of what is the right attitude. Of course, you have to have an attitude to accomplish, achieve, make a difference forever. It's a very delicate, but to think that I'm going to be around and I'm going to be in control, that's what he's saying over here, is dangerous. It has to be obvious, like everything else, always in balance, balance, balance.
I feel that money, if you think about it, most problems in this world, money can resolve.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
It's
money. I agree with you. Not always.
The attitude that I heard
It's not a problem if it can be fixed with money, so don't worry. In other words, you worry about this, you worry about it. It's not a problem.
It's true.
If it can be fixed with money, it's not a problem. Don't
down the road.
It's true.
Whatever.
Yeah,
it's true.
Stop worrying about certain things. It's not really a real problem.
I remember. It's
your
true.
Pipe broke.
It's true.
Your house fell down.
The IRS
can
be fixed with
money.
Money.
It's not a problem. Don't
it's
worry.
Not a problem if you have the money.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
It's true. Money goes. Don't underestimate the power of money.
But don't overreact to your problems.
But at the end, it's really all comes down to attitude. That's really.
I know somebody else who had a very sick daughter had cancer, and he was going to do everything, and he was screaming, "Chai, chai!" Going to the hospital, and the end of my life. Suddenly, the came over and says, "Tell this man, nice. We will do everything that we have to do. His money is no longer in control." Because he was used to getting everything and anything he wanted. He says, he's coming into the hospital with an attitude and getting everything and anything. So we give him everything he needs. It's high life for him. We give him everything he needs. He's screaming and yelling, won't get him more. It's just an attitude.
It's very frightening, sir. I know, at the same time, I called up someone. I went to visit someone that I knew. He was very sick. And I was really horrified at the situation. What was going on? It was, the person eventually died. So I called up someone that was involved with him. And I told him, you know, what's going on here? So he got very, he said, okay, what could we do? Money's not an issue. We'll do anything. I'm going to get you the money. I said to him, there's nothing you could do. I'm not really calling you to tell you, ask you for money. There's nothing you can do. I'm just trying to commiserate how I'm just telling you, we've got a big problem here. I don't think you realize what we're going. So he thought, I'm called, okay, we're gonna get $1 million. We're gonna get the best doctor in the world. We're gonna get a private room. We're gonna get this. I said, he has all that already. He's dying. And like, there's a problem here with the children, with the wife, and this and that. Like, I'm just telling you, I don't know what to do. And like you're saying, oh, okay, money, we have money. We have access to money. Money can't solve everything. And when people have an attitude that money, like you said, money goes a very long way. Wow, it really goes a long way, but it's just really, at the end of the day, it all comes down to attitude. Okay, Rav Menachem, put my attention over here. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy a clock, but not time. Money can buy a book, but not knowledge. Money can buy food, but not an appetite. Money can buy you friends, but not love. I disagree with that last line.
I'll let it to the end.
What do you know?
Let's go further. Okay, this is morbid. Okay, so therefore, let's go more. Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Adam Bikar Baal Yolid Nimshal Kabehemos Nidmu. What does this mean? Adam Bikar. A person is a Yokar. Pasuk Yud Gimel Mitzudas Loshon Yokar. Nidmu is Dimyon. He imagines. Mitzudas David. Adam Bikar Haloi Ein Adam Matuach Bikar Ashoi Sheyolin Imoyad Boikar. A person does not, deep down in his heart, does not have confidence in his wealth, that he will remain with it until the boker, meaning into the future. In kain ma hi ho isher, what is it worth then? Nimshal haboter, a person that has confidence in his wealth, haboter ba'osher, who nimshal lebehemos, is like an animal. V'doimim aleim, and he's similar to them, b'cheshrein hadas, v'inyin kafel ledimyoin gamur. We're repeating this of this concept many, many times in order just to emphasize the point. So how does he tie this pasuk? Adam bikar bal yolin. Again, I'm not really clear what he means over here. One more time. Haloi ein ha-adam batuach. Ein adam batuach bikar ashrei. He's calling the word bikar over here in the preciousness of his wealth, that it will remain with him forever. If that's the case, so why then, mahi ha'ishu, what is the value of this wealth? Nimshal, therefore, nimshal, anyone that makes this mistake, that does have confidence that his money will be with him forever and it will solve all problems is no different than an animal. The difference between a human being and animal is intellect. Animal has no intellect. A person that thinks that his wealth will be forever and it will solve every single problem is lacking intelligence, and he is thus no different than an animal. So the pasuk here means, again, v'adam bikor bal yalin, a person should acknowledge, should realize that his bikor, bikor here means his money. That's really what it means. An adam should acknowledge that his bikor, his money, bal yalin, it will not be around forever. Therefore, stop having confidence and faith in the wealth. And if you don't, then you're really a foolish person. You're no different than nimshal, kabehemos nidmu. These two words mean the same thing. Nidmu, you are compared. Nimshal, these two words mean exactly the same thing in this context, according to the Mitzvah David.
It's different thing. Kabehemot, when they die, they become domem. They are not alive.
Okay,
so
but a person. Okay. It's a different shot. You're saying a different interpretation. You're saying an interpretation that an animal is called a doimen. When the animal dies, it's a doimen. A human being dies, his neshama goes higher, goes on. Okay, you're saying a very nice shot. But the Sukkot stuff over here is saying that these two words over here in the symbol interpretation mean exactly the same thing. You are compared. Nimshal means to be compared. Nidmu means to be compared. You're compared to an animal. And we surround the word behema with two words which mean exactly the same thing as a poetic expression to emphasize the point that a person who is foolish in his expectations and in living in a world of fantasy is really no different than an animal.
It's
anyone?
Another explanation for Natam. Natam is quiet.
Doim. Doim la Hashem. Nidmu, we learn already, Nidmu can mean hope. We learned last week, it means to have hope. Doim la Hashem v'hischoil eloi, it means to have hope. Nidmu, like you said, means a doimim. It means silence, like a rock, a doimim. And here it means
quiet.
Doim is v'yidoim aron. Aron was silent. And here in this context, it means to be compared. And the word nimshal also means to be compared. And the Mitzudas David says we're taking these two words, which mean the same thing, and we're surrounding it by two words, behema, to emphasize that a person that is foolish in believing that his wealth is going to be with him forever and be his security is no different than an animal. He is compared to an animal. Ze darkam keselamoy. This is the way of the foolish person, lamo to him, poetic expression, v'yachadehem b'fiyem yirtzu sela, mitzudois David pasik yud dalet, zedarkam kein min hagam l'hachazik li'atzlom esakesilus hazois l'hisalel imo isha. This is the way of foolish people to have confidence that they're going to have confidence in their wealth. This is their custom. L'hachazik la'atzmam, to have confidence in themselves. Es ha'kisilus hazos, this foolishness. L'hishalel im ha'oishar v'livtech bo, to praise themselves for their wealth and to have confidence in it. Okay, next page. The Mitzudah is on page 441. The Achreihem. Af, and this is scary how he teaches this pasuk. This is a really frightening interpretation. Af b'nehem haboim achreihem gam hemo yirtzu le'olam b'imrei fi avoseihem lehishalel im ha'osher. He is discussing here a very controversial topic, children of rich people. This is a very interesting thing. There's no question about it. A person, children, we have no clue of the effects they say a child's mind is wet cement. And what happens to a child in their youth, a day by a child is like a month by an adult. What happens to a child in one day, a little child, the things that he experiences, they mamish mold him for his entire life.
Right.
And we don't believe that. We mamish don't believe it. And then when we look back and we see, it's true. A child is impressionable, and things that happen to a child really, really change his life. And it's extremely good parents to have proper guidance in parenting to know how to take care of their children. Parents who live in poverty and have, they struggle with parnasa, and it comes out at home, the difficulty, it affects the children. And the children grow up feeling poor, and they grow up with a certain attitude which really changes their attitude in life when they get older. And likewise, it's the other way around. Children who grow up in a home of ashirus, of where money is not an issue, and every other day they're going skiing, and they're going on vacation, they're going to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to Florida, and they're going to Uman, and like money is nothing, it creates a different attitude in life. And what are the effects later on in life? Who knows? Here, David HaMelech, or they're writing this very frightening concept, he's teaching the word v'acharehem in reference to the children. Okay, and I'm sure not all the Mefarshim are going to learn like this. V'acharehem, you have over your person, zedakam keselam, this is the way of a foolish person, to have confidence in their money. They love money, everything is about money. And has consequence. The consequence is the next generation. V'acharehem, their children, the Mitzudos David, on page 441, Af b'nehem haboim acharehem. This word means children who come. Gam hema yirtzu le'olam b'imrei fi avoseihem. They enjoy. They have great satisfaction in repeating the words of their parents. Lehis halel im ha'esha, to praise people who are rich. If you're rich, you're a celebrity. If you're poor, you're a nobody. Katsoin l'shol shatu. Okay, so av yachvayim b'fiyem, go back, v'achvayim, their children, b'fiyem, with their mouths, yirtsu. Yirtsu here means they have satisfaction, or they praise. Sela, what does sela in this context means? It doesn't really, forever. They're always going to be living with this attitude that the only thing that is important is money. Pasuk Tezvav, Katsoim L'shol Shatu, Moves Yireim, Vayirdu Vam Yisharim, Laboike Vitsudam Levalois Sha'ol Mizvuloi. Yeah, that's a hard pasuk. Let's see the Mitzudois David. First, maybe let's see over here what it says over here in the Mitzudois Tzion. Pasuk Tezvav, Shatu. Shatu means Samuts, the set. Yireim is, he teaches this word over here, yishbereim, tiroim b'ashev, to break. So this word can be used many, many, many ways. In this context, it is the decision of the Mitzvah Stavah to teach the word yirim, is to shatter. Okay, like a teruah. One of the words, one of the translations for a teruah is to shatter. The tekiah is a smooth and steady sound. And then comes the shever. A shever is a broken sound. And the teruah is a shattering, when you break something into teeny little pieces. You can break something into big pieces, and you can break something into teeny little pieces. You start off with a tekiah, a smooth, steady, complete inyan. You break it into big pieces, a shever, and then you break it into teruah, into teeny little pieces. That's what it means over in this pasuk. Yireh means to shatter into small little pieces. No. So he's learning. Okay, let's see what it says in the Mesudos. Let's see. Vayerdu means vayerdu. In this, he's being very creative in the Mesudos stuff and translating the words as possible. The words that we translate over here is not a typical translation. So the first word yirei means to shatter. When it says vayerdu in the Mesudos Sion, we're going to go through David in a second. Vayerdu means to rule, dominion. Rulership. It will come forth, a leader. A leader will come forth from Yaakov. It means to rule. Now let's go to the Mitzudos David. Pasik Tezvav. Katsoin. The Oimdim Hemulamisa, we're comparing them to sheep. Sheep to the slaughter. Okay, this is the expression, like sheep to the slaughter. The Oimdim Hemulamisa Lechalis Dan Nefesh Magov. Uchumayatsoin, just like sheep. Haneesof El Hadir Hagufais in Nafshoisam. Just like sheep are taken to the slaughter, when the sheep die, what dies? An animal when an animal dies, we have a tradition that the guf and the neshama dies. The neshama goes into the ground together with the body. What that means exactly, I don't know. Kain so to ye oslu kulam lehasimam basha'ol. People, you say it'll be a very frightening concept. People, human beings, whose neshama be'etzem should go to shamayim. But unfortunately, they have damaged their neshama, and they live a life where they put their full confidence in their wealth, in their money. When they leave this world, they leave this world like sheep. Not only does their body go into the grave, their neshama goes into the grave. What does that mean? I don't know, but that's what it says over here. It says over here, the same way, Kain yasu kulam lahasimam gashol, they die, all of them, they're gathered down into the grave. The hamaves yishabre mikol v'chol, death shatters them, takes away from them everything. Ki bakever tichle, in the grave it withers, hanefesh im haguf. V'yirdu, af b'chayehem, you think it's only miserable in death, even in their lifetimes they have a miserable life. Af b'chayehem kasher yavo itam, kasher yavo itam, even in their lifetime, when they go with their money, yim shlubam hayishodim b'voy es bikram uzuri chasam. What does this mean? If you have a year do af b'chayehem, when they're alive, kasher yavo itam, when their time comes, even in their lifetime, when the day of reckoning comes, yim shluvam hayisharim, the day will come that the money's not going to help them. There are going to be people that are going to be in control of them. Bevo es bokram uzrichasam, when the tzaddikim, when the yeshar, when their light shines, vitzuram v'choskam yuval leheirokev b'shol, and these people with a horrible attitude, there they will rot in the grave. V'lo yishoer mehem mu'umo loy mehaguf v'loy mehanefesh mizavuloy min hamador shaloy, from their dwelling place. Yuva, from their zavul. Their zavul over here means from their abode, from their beautiful palace, from their very wealthy home. They will be brought yuva el hasha'ol. Okay, so basically saying over here is, people that are wealthy are miserable people. Right? Try it on me. The miserable, number one, when they die, they have nothing. Their body goes into the grave and the neshama goes into the grave as well. The neshama does not go higher. Number two, even in their lifetime, they're miserable. Because when the tzaddikim are in control, then all of their wealth is not going to give them any power. They will be ruled by others. Let's try to read that into the Pasuk. Pasuk Tezvav, again, the subject are the people with the bad attitude. These people who really believe in their wealth, they are no different than Katsoin Lishaol Shatu. They are set for a destination no different than the destination of a sheep when it goes into the grave. When the sheep goes into the grave, the guf goes together with the neshama. It's over. These people have set themselves up to be equivalent to the sheep. What happens after they die? The moves, the death, yareim, the death shatters them. It shatters everything, their neshama and their guf. Now, we're switching gears. What about in their lifetime? At least, okay, so in death I have nothing, but at least I have a good life. I have a good life. No, you don't. In life, the moment of happiness and satisfaction is momentary. In life, vayirdu vam yesharim, the yesharim, the tzaddikim, will rule over them as well. Their day, their limelight, their day in the sun of enjoying their wealth is short-lived. Because the time will come when they will be dominion, vayirdu, they will be controlled by the tzaddikim. When? That will happen laboker. That will happen when the tzaddikim, the time of geula, arrives. Vitzuram, and at that, the word tzuram is going back on the wicked. The subject of the word tzuram is the wicked. Levalois Sha'ol, to rot in the grave will go mizvulo from his beautiful palace. It's like Haman. Haman was on top of the world. He was on top of the world. He had enormous wealth and success, and he was taken from his perch, from his glory, to be hung and rot. You have to read the words of this part of the pasuk backwards. That the tsuram, their exalted status in this world, mizivul loy, while they're in their beautiful palace, their beautiful environment, it will be snatched, and they will be taken by the Yesharim at the time of Rigula of Boker, and they'll be taken to Levaloi Sha'ol, to rot in the grave. So look at this pasuk from Haman, from the perspective of Haman. Haman was on top of the world. Haman considered himself to be, you know, his tsuram, his image. The word tsur means an image. Like Saddam Hussein, he had how many statues of himself, and pictures were there of him all over the country of Iraq? Thousands and thousands of, wherever you would go, there would be a picture of Saddam. There's a picture of a statue. At the end, there's nothing left of him, zero. Their tsuram and their beautiful palaces, they will be taken from the Zvulo, taken out by the Yesharim at the time of Boker, and the Yesharim will rule over them, and they will take these people to the Sha'ol, to the grave, to wither away. And then what's going to happen in the grave? They're going to be like Tzoin L'Sha'ol Shatu, Moves Yareim. They'll be like the sheep who go into the grave, and their neshama and their guf are utterly shattered, and Yireim. It's a very complicated pasuk. Okay, I want to read the Mitzvah stuff one more time, this entire pasuk, to appreciate the complexity of this pasuk. Pasuk Tezav, one more time in the Mitzudois David, to appreciate what we're saying over here. Katzoin l'shol l'shatu. Mitzudois David, I lost the place over here. Where is the Mitzudois David? On page 441. Okay, one more time, this difficult pasuk. Katzoin. The subject of the pasuk are the people who have an attitude that they're wealth and their glory will be forever. The Oimdim Hema, the truth is, these individuals are destined l'misa, for death. What kind of misa? Everyone's going to die, but when tzaddikim die, their neshama lives on. These people, when they die, their neshama does not live on. Their neshama goes into the grave together with them. The Oimdim Hema l'misa l'chalois ha-nefesh im ha-guf uchimoi, no different than hatsoin, sheep, hanesof el hadir, that are collected into the pen for slaughter. Hadir im in al hadir, hagufos im nafshosam, their guf and their neshama, and when they are slaughtered, they both go into the grave. Cain so too, ye osvu kulam lehasimam bishol, the wicked people are gathered entirely to put them into the grave. The hamoves, and when they die, Yeshabrim, the death will shatter them, mikol v'chol, from everything. There's nothing going to remain in their death. Ki ba'kever tichle ha'nefesh im ha'guf. Now, let's go backwards in time and describe what kind of life they had. In their life, there will come a point in time, okay, we don't see this all the time, where their glory of their wealth is not going to help them. The year do, af v'chayehem, even when they were alive, kashayava itam, when their day of reckoning comes for them, think of Haman at the end of the Purim story, yim shluvam hayisharim, the tzaddikim will rule over them, bivoy es bokram uzuri chasam, when the time of the boker, when the geula comes for the tzaddikim, and when the light of the tzaddikim shine, the tzaddikim will rule over these wicked people. And then, v'tsuram v'choskam, the subject of the word v'tsuram are the wicked people, their strength, he seems to be saying the word tsuram comes from the word a rock, I told you the word tsura means an image. An image. I made a mistake. Or at least in this interpretation, it was the tsura means v'choskam. Hashem tsuri v'goyali. Tsur is a rock. The stronghold, the fortress. The tsuram. There's choskam. Yuva lehira kev v'sho will be brought to rot in the grave. V'lo yishaer mehem mu'uma. Lo mehaguf, lo mehanefesh. And this will happen suddenly. They will be sitting in their palace, in their beautiful abode of glory and splendor, and suddenly someone's going to come and snatch them and take them out to be killed. Mizivul loy, min hamodor sheloy, from their abode, their dwelling place, their beautiful palace, yuva, they will suddenly be brought el hashol, to the grave. Okay, one of the most difficult psukim that we've learned in a very, very long time. Yeah?
To go to Beit Avel and Achem Avelim, and to say this is the last word that you say, what kind of Nichumim is this?
No, we're now finished it. We have more to go. We're not done yet. We have more to go here. You're right. It's you're not saying it to them.
It's for Haman, it's for this.
You're not saying it to them. You're saying it to yourself. You're not saying it. That's the whole purpose. You go to a Beis Avel, you say this. Going to a Beis Avel is an experience. It's a humbling experience. Everything in life is an opportunity.
You should say it, but
not loud. We have the wrong attitude. Everything in life. I saw yesterday. I was reading yesterday by David Leibowitz. David Leibowitz is a very big Talmud Chacham. He wrote, halachically speaking. I'm sure everyone's seen his books around halachically speaking. So he put out another volume on the Piskei Rabbi Belsky. He collected these very interesting, that's not only Psak Halacha, like Dvar Chachmut, all different things from Rabbi Belsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And I was just glancing through it, and I saw one thing he says, that when an event happens in this world, there are two different attitudes a person can have. Let's say there's an earthquake, there's a hurricane, there's a recession. So there are some people, there are two different attitudes. Some people, they say, what averos did these people do that they deserve to suffer like this? Something happened, something tragic happened. It must be, you know, you pass judgment. It must be that someone they did an avera. They were not good people. They did this, they did that. That's one attitude. The other attitude is, what can we learn from this that happened to improve ourselves? Okay, there is a certain negative attitude. I'm above it all. And good for you people. Oh, you suffer tragedy. Oh, must be din avera. It must be your machal Shabbos. It must be, like the Moshe, they say, like, you see this by Rachmana Litzlan, there's a fire. So Chazal say that if there's a fire, it comes from Chil Shabbos. That's what it says in Chazal. That the loisavadu eish b'chol Moshe v'sechem b'yom HaShabbos. And from that they learn that if there's a fire, it means Chil Shabbos. So let's say there's Rachmana. So no one today is a Navi and to say, you know why you have there's a fire? Because it's Chil Shabbos. You got to be a total idiot, nincompoop, to talk like that. A shaita sheba shaita, even though it says in Chazal. I heard people say this. I'll tell you, I'm a witness. I heard this. There was a fire, so the Muslim in Chilul Shabbos. Really, such a chacham. It's a certain nature of a person to go and to something bad happens. This is a day of reckoning. You got what you deserved, and then there is an attitude. There was a fire. Why did this happen? One thing I can be sure of. It's not because it was Chilul Shabbos. That I can be absolutely certain. There was a fire. No one today can say why something happened. There was a fire? No, there was a fire. Why was there a fire? I have no doubt in my mind that I don't know why. And I have no doubt in my mind that it's not because of Chilul Shabbos. Because it's not for us to say that. However, the fact that there was a fire, it's a reminder for me, I should mikanu labim mechazek myself in Shabbos. I should learn Hilchot Shabbos better. What happened? has nothing to do with Chilul Shabbos. It happened because it happened. There can be a million reasons why it happened. It has nothing to do with Chilul Shabbos. But the fact that there was a fire, Hashem is speaking to me, and Hashem is telling me, I think the time now has come in your life where you should learn Hilchos Shabbos. You've learned Hilchos Brachos, you've learned Hilchos this, Hilchos that. Now is a tekufa, you should. So this is a reminder to me, it's now a time, I read in the news that there was a fire, I read in the news that in this neighborhood of Chveis, there was a fire, no one was hurt, everything is fine, and there's, of course, there's fire insurance, so so don't worry, there's no loss of money here either. So, why did this happen? You know why this happened? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to me and he's telling me, you know, I think it's a good idea that mikan ul habad, you should learn Hilchos Shabbos. When there's an event, do you disassociate yourself from what happened and just look to blame someone? Or do you use an event that is an opportunity to be mechazik yourself in a message? This is a trigger. It's a trigger. And put aside the past. You go to a Beis Avel. Chmanos, you go to a Beis Avel. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's like going to a Musar Shtibel. Today, Rav Yisrael Salanta did not succeed in making Musar Shtiblach. Okay? But when a person, every so often, Kachi Derech HaOlam, there's a Beis Avel, and you go to Beis Avel, it's an opportunity. Oy, Gewalt, I have to go tomorrow, get my tefillin and go to this Beis Avel. What an annoyance. I don't have a choice. This is a relative of mine, and this is a this. Oh, Adarabah. Everything in life is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to dwell upon life. It's an opportunity to read this mizmar and to read this pasuk of to realize that everyone's going to die eventually, and what's going to be the end? And this pasuk, I'm going to read it one more time because it's such a powerful pasuk, and I never knew pshat the pasuk to really appreciate the pasuk. And the words, the key to understand the pasuk is, number one, to know with clarity, don't read the words in order. And number two, to know the translation of the words in this context. The key words here that are unique are the word zivul. What does it mean, the word zivul? Zivul means the palace of the rich and famous. Remember there was a television show years ago? Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? And there was the person who spoke, who had a British accent. I remember my mother would always say, this show is nothing. They should come to Flatbush. What goes on in Flatbush makes this show to a joke. Right? It's talking true. Lifestyles of Richard is some type of a... There you probably can find a YouTube video, an old rerun of the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, the British actor. So the word Zavul here means... The word Zavul here means the home and the palace of the ultra, ultra rich who believe in their wealth. The word Yire means to shatter into little pieces. The word Vayirdu means to control, to exercise authority. The word Boker is a symbol for Geula, when the tzaddikim are dominant. And the word Tsuram means the wicked people who are strong and powerful and who believe in them. They believe in them. They believe in themselves. Because they're rich and powerful, they're like a rock. They believe they're unshakable. Now, after you know the meaning of the words of this pasuk and its unique meaning in this particular pasuk, and we know that we don't read this pasuk in order, and we know the context, now we can understand this pasuk, and we'll work backwards. In the lifetime, when you're dealing with a certain type of person who just believes in his wealth, the day will come when they will have nothing. When the boker comes, will be the first word of the pasuk. When the geula comes, and then the tzaddikim are in control. The Vayirdu Vam Yesharim, the tzaddikim will rule over these crazy people. And at that time, you know what's going to happen? Vitzuram, these wicked people who think they're going to be around forever in this world and they're unbreakable, you know what's going to happen to them? Mizavul, suddenly, from their beautiful palaces, and their exotic lifestyles, while mizivuloi, while they're occupied in, it's to them this beautiful abode of living a life of a pampered life of luxury, they're going to be dragged. They're going to be suddenly dragged from there and be taken where? Levalois Sheol, to rot in the grave. And it ain't over yet. And when they get into the grave, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to be no different than sheep. They're going to be katsoin l'shol shatu. They're going to be treated and set no different than a sheep. What happens to when a sheep goes into the grave? Where does its neshama go? It goes straight down to the basement. It doesn't go to Gan Eden. It doesn't go to the Yeshiva Shalmaila. It doesn't go to have Hana from the Ziv Ashchina. The sheep don't have any of these type of spiritual experiences after death. Katsoin l'shol shatu, Moves, the death of these people, Yireim, will shatter them entirely into little teeny pieces, including their neshama. So here's a really classic example to use as a teaching tool to teach the way you have to learn Nach. Nach, you have to know the meaning of the words in its context, which the words over here are very difficult words. Zavul, Vayirdu, Yireim, Shatu, Tsuram. Each word over here can mean many different things. Each word over here has multiple meanings. In this context of the Mitzvah stuff, you have to know what it means. And then you have to know, don't ever read a pasuk in order. It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle, and you have to rearrange the order of the words, because the way we have been trained, we're familiar, we are linear. We read things in order. If it's not going to make sense in order, forget it. We can't deal with it. So you have no choice but to rearrange the words to appreciate the story that the words are telling you. I never read it, go to baseball, I read these words. I have no clue what I'm saying. No clue. I'm indebted to you because we learned. Now I have at least a little appreciation.
95% of the people who say don't understand.
95? 99.9?
No, because only this group here understand. But all the others.
99.9? I'm going to forget this by tomorrow.
If you look at the Sidur of Misaski, everything is large letters. This one is so small, you cannot read it.
It's not their Sidur. They buy Sidur. Okay, it's very hard. It's not an easy thing.
The Gemara also, one of the things in Darshan, it mentions the fact that that's why one of the reasons the Torah is written without punctuation marks.
Okay, there are many perushim. I in Parma Torah.
But in other words, because you can't read a pasuk the way it looks sometimes, that gives you the license to make something out of it.
We just learned one perush, the Mitzudais. Right. You learn Rashi, give you a whole different story here.
Exactly.
You're going to learn what the Medrash sees, what the Gemara sees, what the Radak sees in this. We just learned the Mitzudais. The Mitzudais is one parish. The Mitzudais has the advantage because the Mitzudais derech is to be malakit. He came much later, and he is trying to give you the simplest interpretation that can satisfy the average person. And even that's quite a task to appreciate this one little puzzle. All right, we'll take a short break.